promise you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God.
How many of you believe that He is an awesome God? Hallelujah, Jesus. You are a powerful God. We worship you.
For us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live. Stay. What a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. And we can take everything to him. All our cares, all our grief, all our sins, all our concerns, all our stresses and anxiety during this time. I want to encourage you that if you're not laying those down at the cross, at Jesus' feet, I want to encourage you this morning, take a chance. Take a chance. God can meet you where you're at, right there in your home this morning, in your car, at work, wherever you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him. I feel him speaking to my heart. So grateful. So grateful, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. We want to take a few needs to him this morning. We don't need to have these burdens alone. We are a family. We want to pray for the Kevin Brown family. Kevin and Janelle Jordan, their brother and sister, and their uncle George passed away. I believe it was yesterday or the day before. And he was very close to the family, so we want to pray for Kevin and Janelle and the extended family, the kids, grandkids, or grand nephews and nieces. And we also want to pray for Julie Puckett's father. He's down in, I believe it's Illinois, where he lives, and he has been sick and contracted COVID, and he's come through COVID, but as you may have read, it does do work on your lungs, and so he's really struggling. And as you know, the family can't visit during this time, and so I know Sister Julie has posted about it and has shared with ladies about it, but we want to gather together as a church family to pray for her father, that he would be healed in Jesus' name, that God's arms would wrap around Julie and the family and comfort them despite not being able to see him, be there with him. But we're believing for healing. Also, we want to pray for John Wagner and Brother Pat Huber again. We're both dealing with cancer today, Lord Jesus. If you have a need, I want you to, as we pray for these needs, take that need to the Lord as well. Give it over to him right now as we pray. Just release it. Let it go. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We just cast all our cares upon him. So let's do that this morning. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are our friend. You're not just a God, Lord Jesus, that we don't see, and a God that we have to have extreme faith in, and a God that we just are supposed to worship and obey. No, you're our friend, God. Lord, you're a friend, God. Lord, we could be like David and be, Lord, close to your heart, God. Lord Jesus, you care about us. You call upon us to cast our cares. And so, Lord, this morning, every care, every concern that was not mentioned, pray first, Lord God. Help us to leave them in your hands, to transfer them over and physically. Maybe it's, Lord, taking that step of just passing it to you physically. Lord, right now I pass my concerns, my cares to you. Take them, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, you would comfort, Lord, the Kevin and Janelle, God, and their uncle who has passed, and the kids and the family members, God, who, Lord, he was close to, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, minister to them with comfort and peace, Lord Jesus, during this time of loss. We pray for Lord Julie, God, and her family, God. I couldn't imagine, Lord God, my father being sick and not being able to be there with him, Lord, and support him and help him and encourage him in person, God. And so I pray right now, Lord, do that for Julie and the family. Be there right there in that hospital room. Let them feel your peace, Lord. I speak to those lungs, God, and I command them to be healed in Jesus' name, God. Lord Jesus, correct what is wrong, God. Lord, you know all the surrounding conditions. God, I pray, heal him, Lord. Comfort Julie and the family right now. Give them peace and strength, God. Lord, I pray for our brothers John Wagner and Pat Huber, God, Lord, facing cancer, God. We rebuke this cancer in Jesus' name, and we're believing, God, Lord, for a healing touch, God. We're going to come out of this on the other side, God. We're believing it for it, Lord Jesus, God, especially during this time again with support, Lord God. We can't maybe physically support them by being there, but we can support them with our prayers, God, with our belief, God, and our faith, Lord God, Jesus, that they would be healed, God. I pray, minister all over this county, every need, every situation, God. Those who may be, Lord, tuning in for the first time, God, joining us this morning, who, Lord, are desperate, who are looking, who are anxious. God, I pray, minister, Lord, right now, God, to their spirits, God. Lord, let a peace and a calm, Lord God, come over us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Amen. Well, just a couple announcements before we go into the word of the Lord. I want to continue to remind you that we can give unto the Lord despite not being here in person. You can send checks in 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, 53704. You see the address up there on the screen or on your interwebs, on your screen, not the screen, your screen. also, cgcmadison.org. You can go online and give. Just click the give link, follow the instructions there. And then you can also text to give, 608-719-3883. You can text the keywords tithes or offering, and it'll walk you through, give an amount, et cetera, and take care of that. Coming up, we're excited that we're going to continue to have online services here. Wednesday again at 7 p.m. next Sunday, 10 a.m. And the AIM at 5 p.m. tonight is AIM at 5 p.m. So check us out on Facebook, also at cgcmadison.org. You can watch us. Obviously, you're watching right now. Join us again. And we're looking forward to a great time this week in the Lord. And we're going to believe that God is continuing to bless you and keep you, amen, safe during this time. With that, we want Pastor Seidel to come at this time and bring the word of the Lord this morning.
Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Just a word. Pastor Roy was here this morning, but we said he should go home since he's on vacation. So remember Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, this was their vacation, and they're getting to spend it at home. So, amen, like so many of us. I want to speak this morning on pleasing God. There was a time in my life when I didn't even think that was possible, but the Bible tells us it is. So I'm going to read from Psalm 147, verse 11. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those that fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Amen. That's in itself a revelation for some people, that God would actually take pleasure in us. But it says, those that fear him. God takes pleasure in those that fear him. To some, that sounds as like, that's cruel. God wants us to be afraid. Why would God want us to fear him? Fear is a much talked about topic these days. There's a fear that stalks humanity today. Fear of sickness. Fear of death. For some, it's a fear of the loss of liberty. For many, it's a fear of uncertainty and the unknown. This is a deceptive and destructive kind of fear. It causes people to mistrust each other. It causes some to be extremely defensive. This fear causes others to be judgmental and accusatory. I don't think I'll be filling out one of those forms reporting on my neighbors. I'm not sure, but sorry I had to throw that in there. Take that out, if you would, the censors. For some, it leads to timidity and reclusiveness. Some of us are just fine with staying at home and not going anywhere or doing anything, because that's the way we live our lives anyway. But for still others, it causes them to be angry and belligerent. And some of that anger is starting to boil out more and more among us. This kind of fear tears down the individual. It undermines right behavior, and it disintegrates clarity in society and in government. But that's not the fear that this passage in Psalms is talking about. Psalms is talking about a different kind of fear. The word that is used there describes a different One Bible dictionary defines it as morally reverent. Now everybody right away, morally reverent? What does that mean? Well, I thought about it. To me, that means that both God and I, we know who's right in any case. So I'm reverent of that fact. I know his judgment is always correct. And if there's something wrong in my relationship with God, I know whose fault it is. It's not his. It means that I'm concerned about being the cause for ruining a good thing. It means that there are consequences. The consequence of not living with him forever. And it's the shame, knowing that I broke the relationship and that I bear the responsibility. Ecclesiastes 8:12 says that I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. It'll be well with those that fear God. That's a good thing. That's a good kind of fear. Job says that when the devil came before the Lord, he questioned Job's faith, and he said, does Job fear God for nothing? He wanted to destroy Job. His point was, look at all the benefits that his fear of God has brought to him. Look at all the good things that Job has in his life because he fears God. Sometimes that means going through difficult trials. Actually, for all of us, it means going through trials at one point or another, just as Job did. But God has a purpose in every trial, and good things for those that fear him. Psalm 66:16 says this, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. God's done good things for us. But what does that mean? What does the fear of God look like? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men. Of course, that means all man, woman, child, all people. Love the brotherhood. That's talking about the family of God, not the brotherhood of electrical engineers. Fear God. Well, it would include the Brotherhood of Electrical Engineers. But fear God and honor the King. These are some of the things that go along with the fear of God. Honor all men. Love for the family of God. And honoring the King. These are attitudes, if I can say it, that keep company with the fear of God. Honor all men. That right there eliminates racism. It eliminates pride of social status. It eliminates judgmental attitudes. It eliminates bitterness towards others and covetous, envious, and vengeful attitudes and behavior. Because if I'm honoring another person, these things will not reside in my heart toward them. Love the brotherhood. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. I remember one time I visited another city in another state that I won't mention. Well, it was this state. And a close friend, someone I love more than a friend, I guess, had an incident with another pastor. And I went to my pastor and said, this is terrible how this thing went down. I'm just totally offended by this. You need to call that pastor and straighten this out. And Brother Grant looked at me and he said, Brother John? And he always paused a little bit when he would say that. You always give your brother the benefit of the doubt. That was the end of the conversation. That doesn't mean that we accept things that are incorrect, but you always give your brother the benefit of the doubt. Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. And he actually shamed the people that were listening to him by indicating that it was a Samaritan that did the right thing for the man that was injured by the side of the road. He said, this is how you love your brother. You're there when he needs you. That's how you love the brotherhood. And then honor the king. These are things that go along with fearing God. Honoring the king. Now here in Wisconsin, we can choose from among our various government leaders, and we can choose one side or the other and decide whether or not we're going to honor that leader. But really, the scripture doesn't give us that choice. So we have to, maybe I have to, repent for all of the nicknames I've come up with for government leaders, or all of the nicknames you've come up with, or the things you've said about whichever government leader you disagree with. See, the church is not about political division. The church is not about which side is right and which side is wrong, because there's only one side that's right. And that's the side that fears God. Honor the king. Respect for authorities. That includes all authority that God places. That doesn't mean we agree with everything authority does. That doesn't mean we support necessarily everything authority does, but we are respectful. We honor those that God has placed over us. Is my attitude keeping company with these attitudes? Is yours? And do we really fear God if these things are not present? Exodus 18:21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God. There's some more things that go along with the fear of God. Men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. Those were the guidelines that Moses was given to choose leaders in Israel. Men of truth, and those that hate covetousness. Now, covetousness is oftentimes a word that people don't understand or even make fun of because it seems to be archaic. But let me put it in plain terms. It means you don't desire other people's things or other people's position. And you don't want to hang out with people who do. That's all that means. Acts 13:16, Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, he said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Another element of fearing God is paying attention to his word. Paul was standing in front of a group of people and he said, if you fear God, then pay attention. Listen, I have something from the word of the Lord. People who fear God pay attention to his word. I've talked to many people who've said, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't believe the Bible. Well, how did you find out about Jesus in the first place? How do you know what he said? How do you know what he did? I love God, but I don't think I need to follow any teaching or preaching. Well, how is that possible? If you love God, if you fear God, then you will give audience, you will pay attention to what his word says. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The writer of Ecclesiastes goes through all of the issues and problems that a person might come across in his life and talks about the struggles. But he gets to the end of the book and he says, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The fear of God will cause us to take heed to his word, to find out what it says, to seek truth, to want to know what's true, to want to be honest, to be content with what we have. The Bible says that that's great godliness. But there's also worship in the fear of God. Revelation 14:17, the end of the book, when things are wrapping up and God's putting a summary on all of humanity's time on the earth. The angels are singing and they say with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of this judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." The fear of God will cause me to worship him for who he is. The fear of God includes the following, then. Honoring God and honoring lawful authority and loving the family of God, the people of God. It is manifest by the absence of selfish and envious desires and motives. It's evidenced by the love and hunger for honesty and truth, which then would obviously present itself in respect and love for the Word of God. All of this would be colored, would be reflected in an attitude and practice of worship before the God of the universe. Sometimes we think in our own mind that we can create this image of what God is. Never forget we're talking about the God who was before anything else. The God that created everything that is, who spoke the word and it happened. The God of the universe manifest, come to the earth to be here for our sake in Jesus Christ. Psalm 19 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It says this, that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. See, that's the amazing thing about this passage that we first read in Psalm 147. People read that and they see fear of God, and right away they make a judgment about God himself. They don't like that phrase, fear of God, because they don't see what it is, what it means. But here's the awesome thing. We are talking about an enduring, eternal relationship with the creator of the universe. The one who loved us so much, loved you, loved me so much, that he entered into his own creation in the form of a man and paid the price for our salvation by allowing himself to be tortured and crucified on a cross so that he could rise from the dead and bring us eternal life. That's the God we're talking about. That's why the Bible says perfect love, his perfect love, casts out all fear. Because, and that's not talking about the fear of God, that's talking about the negative fear. That's talking about the fear that the world has to offer. Perfect love casts out all fear. What is that? Because God loves me so much. He proved it. He showed me. So I can be sure. I can know. I can have a moral reverence, knowing that he is always right and that he always has my best interest in mind. So how do we know if we have that kind of relationship? Well, look at the first part. It says the Lord takes pleasure. We know that we have that relationship with God when it matters to us whether or not we're pleasing to him. Am I pleasing to God? Is what I'm doing pleasing to God? Is my lifestyle, is my attitude, is my conversation, am I being pleasing to God? Then I know that I have that fear of God, that moral reverence. I'm sure that you've seen some of my favorite, the videos of the little child who's sitting in a high chair or in his mother's lap or maybe on a couch, and somebody in the household has figured out a way to make that kid laugh, and they just gurgle and bubble and giggle, and it just bursts out of them, and this pure song of laughter, and you can't help but smile and laugh because this is just such a innocent, clean thing, that laughter of the child. I'm not talking about, you know, adult laughter, which can be faked, or it's just a genuine thing. It's like music almost to the human ear. But I can tell you from my own experience that as much as that video will light up my senses, there's nothing like hearing that joy come out of your own child when they giggle, when they bubble. You and your own grandchildren is even better yet. Even today, I take great pleasure in my adult children's laugh. I also take pleasure in their success. I take pleasure in their loves, in their good choices. I take pleasure in any good thing that comes their way. More than that, I take great pleasure in hearing my wife laugh. Especially if it's at one of my truly insightful jokes. But to turn it around, I really love it when I know I've done something that pleases my wife. When I get it right every now and then. I want to find the thing that she takes pleasure in. On her birthday, on Christmas, I want to get the right gift. I want to find the right place for a trip. And every now and then I have to admit that I'm wrong. And ask forgiveness. See, I want to have a right relationship with my wife, so I try to do the things that are pleasing to her. There's a word for that. Called love. That's what God wants for you and me. That's what pleases Him. When we fear Him. When we care enough about what matters to Him that we try to do the thing that pleases Him. Jesus said, now this is Jesus that said it, for all of you who only want to accept the words of Jesus as your gospel, this is what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not because he's a tyrant, but because he's God. A pure and holy, sinless God, who by very nature of his purity and holiness cannot bless, is not pleased by sinful behavior. Because sin separates us from him. That's why he is not pleased. It takes us away from him. And he wants to have us near him. He loves us. But notice, Psalm 147, the verse we read, also says that he takes pleasure in those who hope in his mercy. This relationship is not just based on his holiness, but also on his forgiveness. Sin separates us from God. It breaks the relationship of mutual love. But because he loves us so much, he provides hope. He provides a means of reconciliation. 1 John says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we will confess them. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why he commanded the apostles to preach the gospel everywhere. Because he loves every person on this planet. He said to baptize believers in his name and teach everything that he had given them. The apostles had spent 3 years, 3.5 years, and then And then 40 days after the resurrection with Jesus giving them specific instructions. He said, now take everything I've given you and go give it to the world so that I can, the Bible says that Christ, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation. God wants to reconcile us to himself. Luke said it this way in 24:47. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It was necessary for him to do this. And it was necessary that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It was necessary because he loves us. Praise God. The only other place in the King James Version where this phrase, the Lord takes pleasure, is used is in the book of Psalms also. Psalm 149:4 says, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. That's why on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. The Bible says he stood up with the 11. They knew what he was going to do, what he was going to say. They were in agreement with him. He stood up and preached the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, they had, that world, they didn't really know who Jesus was. They didn't identify him with Christianity. But what Peter was proving to the Jewish audience that he had there was that this Jesus was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. That he was God manifest in the flesh on the earth coming to visit humanity. He preached that message to them. And he said that he died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day. The people that were there responded and said, what do we have to do? How do we obey this gospel? What is the thing that will please God? And of course, he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the Holy Ghost. These are first steps. This is the beginning of a life that's pleasing to God. Do I think I in myself am good enough to please God? Well, I've found out, no. But when I submit myself to him, when I let him work through me, when I ask forgiveness when I have done wrong, that's what's pleasing to him. That's what honors him. That's the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of an eternal relationship forever, based on love and forgiveness. That's what Jesus Christ wants. That's what gives him the greatest pleasure, is when we surrender to him. He wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to spend eternity with me. I don't know if he'll laugh at my jokes, but he wants to spend eternity with me. Because he wants to share the joy of relationship. Yeah, it's funny when that little kid on the video laughs and gurgles, but it means so much more when it's my own child. And it means so much to him that he wants to spend eternity. That relationship, that's why he takes pleasure in those that fear him. God bless you.
just want to bless your name. I just want to make you laugh. I just want to move your heart, God. I give you all I am. And I just want to bless your name. And I just want to make wanna move your heart, God, and give you all I am. It's by your will and for your pleasure I exist. You It's by your will and for your pleasure I exist. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord.
I just want to encourage you. Take a moment and pray. Take a moment and however you know how, reach out to a God who's always present, a God who's never far away, a God who cares about you. Just take a moment and talk to Him. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him recall for you anything you have heard from the Scripture in your life, or perhaps even just this day. Let God talk to your heart. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your eternity, but also for this life. Reach out to Him because He's reaching out to you right now.
Oh.
behalf of Pastor Roy Grant and all of Calvary Gospel Church, I want to thank you for attending this service. We felt the presence of the Lord here, or at least I know for sure I did. And I hope that you have felt the touch of God in your life this morning. It doesn't have to be a Sunday morning thing. It should be an everyday thing. And I pray that it is for you. Don't forget to pray for these needs that were brought up earlier in the service. Some very difficult times for members of our congregation. If you're struggling with the stay-at-home order and the abrupt change in lifestyle that we've had to adjust to, let me give you a suggestion. Write down a list of 3 to 5 names. Maybe people you haven't talked to recently, maybe haven't been in touch with, or maybe someone you know who is struggling. Then think of something about them that you can compliment them for, or something positive you can say to them. Do that this week. Call any number of people, but as just, if need be, make it a short list and make it a point to do something for somebody else and see how much that lifts you up. See if the love of God will flow through you and bless someone else. It will make a difference for you. It'll make a difference for them as well. Remember, we have service here this afternoon, 1 o'clock, Voces Unidas, and 5 o'clock, African International Ministries. Tuesday evening, Voces Unidas has service again. And Wednesday evening, Calvary Gospel Church will be online at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to attend any and all of these. God is still moving. God is alive. God is not limited. Reach out to Him. He loves you. God bless you in Jesus' name.